Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Being overwhelmed is a libido killer.
I can imagine too, based on the work that you do.
You're right, it's about the type of work that I do. If I keep it up at this pace, I'm gonna be burnt out and burnt down, and I would be of no use to this man that I love, because this is going to really dramatically impact the foundation and everything that we built. And this is like sort of probably the battle cry of for Black women, is that we have just been conditioned to just keep on moving. And it's like, no, sometimes that's really not good. Where is the decompress? There literally isn't one.
Welcome.
Jemele Hill.
Groundbreaking voice in sports media. Acclaimed author of Uphill, a memoir.
Award-winning journalist and writer for The Atlantic. And outspoken activist.
99% of my vacations are out of the country. I need the full disconnect. When I started to see the difference in just my moods, it became an active intentionality. It's like, how can I bring vacation sex to a Wednesday? When I tell you that sex was sexing, okay? And I'm like, who am I right now?
But do you think that there's a direct correlation between the pleasure you can receive and the mindset that you're in?
You saying that just made me have an aha moment, because I actually never, what do you got?
Green, mint.
I do mint.
Mint?
Yeah.
Okay,
thank
mint's
you.
A good choice. So you just came back from this great vacation. What is something that's calling you to talk about, specifically teach about, but just share about?
I think what I would love to sort of teach people about is how to declutter to create better intimacy. And decluttering was not an issue for me when I was younger. But now as I've gotten older, I just want to literally beat to death whoever created multitasking.
You believe it's magic.
But as women, like, we find ourselves trying to juggle so much that we wind up paying attention to nothing. And so decluttering yourself is a must if you want to create, I think, real intimacy. Oh, you got like a real teapot. Like, you're not playing no games over here, okay? No, decluttering, it's almost like we have to do mental spring cleaning.
Every day.
Every single day you have to spring clean your mind so that you can be a present partner, a affectionate partner, a loving partner. Because I refuse to have one of those marriages where life just happens. And then next thing you know, you look up and we haven't had sex in 6 months. So I'll be like, how did that happen? Like, so every day, like, y'all was just like, we good with it? Like, what went on? But I see how it could happen.
Yeah.
It's like when you allow that clutter to build up, be it emotional clutter, be it anxiety, whatever it is, it can have really damning consequences on your levels of intimacy, which is not always about sex, as we all know, but just even creating the environment of affection, it can have a really terrible effect. Yeah. 99% of my vacations are out of the country. I need the full disconnect. I'm not watching TV. I'm not doing any of these things. I'm not keeping up with the news. Like, I need a full-on disconnect. And I realize that, oh, the reason why it's different is because my mind isn't cluttered full of bullshit.
Yeah.
When I started to see the difference in just my moods, it became an active intentionality. It's like, how can I bring vacation sex to a Wednesday?
I can imagine too, based on the work that you do, that it's so integral to leave, because your heart and your head is so connected here. People look to you here for leadership. They look to you here. And then I'm sure when they see you out too, there's an expectation of the kinds of conversations they want to have that actually just draw you right back in.
Yeah, it is more mentally freeing. And you're right, it's about the type of work that I do.
Yeah.
Because I'm in media and specifically talking about a lot of heavy subjects, especially since I cover, for The Atlantic, I'm a contributing writer and I write about the intersection between race, sports, gender, politics, that mismatch of things. So when you become sort of the business, when you're a personality, for however you want to define that, and you become the business, you can't unplug from yourself.
because I'm always me, and me is always on for somebody. And so when we got back from vacation, you know, we took some great pictures, great videos. As much as I might be the media personality, but the personality in my household is my husband, 1,000%, right? And so he was like, oh man, we should do like a travel vlog or whatever, because people really get into our vacations and this and that. And I was thinking, like, it feels like another job to me. He meant it from a fun place, and he's right. Like, people always ask us, like, where'd you go? What tips? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, that feels like a job to me, because I already do that with the rest of my life. And so I find it harder when you're in this line of work to figure out where that line is between where the persona, and not that I'm a different person, but where the persona that has to be on all the time begins and where you yourself began.
You said that for a while you could do it. When did you realize you couldn't anymore?
You know, I guess as I got more known, it became a little harder, because being a little more known, your responsibilities change. The demands change. What people require of you changes. And so as a result, more kept being added to the plate. And there were days where I was thinking, like, man, if somebody asked me to do one more thing, I'm gonna choke somebody out, like, right? And I also suffer in silence. One of my friends called me that. She was like, you just suffer in silence. I was like, I do, why? Like, so I absorb a lot. And I think women kind of do this in general. We make the hardest shit look easy. And that is both a superpower and also kryptonite. Because we're making it so easy, people have no qualms about having the audacity to ask us to do shit.
Yeah.
As these demands became increasingly higher, I saw that, like, if I keep it up at this pace, I'm gonna be burnt out and burnt down, and I would be of no use to this man that I love, because this is going to really dramatically impact the foundation and everything that we built. And so it was not the easiest realization, but one thing I love about marriage is, like, marriage is a reflection. And so through the other person, you can see, like, oh, that's where I need to get better. Oh, that's where I need to do this or that. And so, and adjust.
I love that, because a lot of people get to that place of feeling like they have to say yes to everything and everybody, especially in a work capacity or in a family or a friend capacity. And when you said, if somebody asked me one more thing, and then I thought of the romantic partner who reaches across and is like, hey, babe, do you want it? And then you're like, no,
right? Right. It's like, and then when they, you know, and not that that is necessarily my way of expression, but yeah, I see how it happens. And it's one of the reasons why I love that my husband and I have been super intentional about how we spend our birthdays together. And because that is a hard boundary. You know, his birthday is August 6th, mine is December 21st. I'm gonna tell you today.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, exactly. You got winter and summer, right?
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah.
And for the entertainment industry, those are both slower times.
See, it's as if it was ordained.
Yeah.
Because this intentional time, we're spending it together to do this. And I think setting those hard boundaries has been super invigorating for me.
I have so many questions, but that's just because my mind's going in so many different places here. So I'll start with vacation sex versus Tuesday sex in good old California, because we had, do you know Kev on stage?
Oh, yes.
Him Kevin and his Fredericks. Wife were on.
Him and Mrs. on stage.
Him and Mrs. on stage, the good sis, Melissa. Can I ask what constitutes great sex in your marriage?
Ooh, the elements for me include, okay, you have to be on vacation. I'm sorry, you guys. It's just my thing, okay? Or it has to be like a real chill day, one of the two, where I don't have to worry about, like, cleaning up kids. I don't have to worry about all the things. Okay. And middle of the day, I like windows open personally. That's why I'd be liking vacation, because you can have all the windows open. Middle of the day, windows open, and I need like a full on, like, I want a full on beginning, middle, end. I need to have time for all of the situations. You could only do that on vacation. Our life, our calendar life is just way too regimented for what I'd be really wanting.
She's right. Like, That is not to say that when you're at home and it's a good old Thursday that you're not putting in the same effort. I certainly am, but it's just something, I don't know, we just came back from Santorini, right? And it was one of the most beautiful hotels that we've ever stayed in. Cavatago, I think, is C-A-V-A-T-A-G-O-O. Go to this Instagram page, I promise you, you're gonna be like, I don't care what furniture or kidney I gotta sell, like, I'm gonna be in this spot. Like, there's not a bad view anywhere. It's incredible. And because of the view and the whole atmosphere and this and that, it was like, when I tell you that sex was sexing, okay? And I'm like, who am I right now? I mean, I know who I am, and it's not like I'm not generally, you know, a pretty open, you know, adventurous person, but Melissa's right. It's like there's something about how being overwhelmed and thinking about, okay, I got to do this, I got to run here, I got to do that, I got to make sure that's in on time, I got to return this email or whatever, is a libido killer. The couples that I know that wound up breaking up, while, you know, you're not saying that sex makes the relationship necessarily, but when that goes away, that is like a real symbol that things are in a bad place. And so I find that being proactive in these things is a way that you can kind of stave off, you know, some of these things that happen that can ruin a relationship. So my forever sort of goal is bringing vacation sex to the Wednesday. And so, yeah, like, I mean, it's certainly, you know, possible through, like, little candle lighting, little bath taking, like, yeah, there's plenty of things that you can do. But the vacation sex reminds me of how I need to apply this in my daily life, more so.
I am so, I'm stopping myself from asking a million questions about this trip. Like, well, what did you say? What did you do? What happened in this thing? Because I'd like to know. Maybe I'll ask you afterwards.
All I can say is, because I don't know that I could go past like swimming pool beds or whatever that are out there, like that you see at like resorts and stuff, without blushing. That's all I gotta say. I was like, I'm gonna blush every single time. I was like, we have a pool in our backyard. I was like, yo, we need to get one of these for the backyard.
That's so hot. What specifically, like, what is your routine for decluttering on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday at home? Because I do think it's so integral to put that buffer between you, like, between roles. And especially for people who don't have a long commute home, sometimes the difference between being on and being off and being in love is boom bap. So, yeah, what do you do to get into that a headspace where intimacy is even possible?
You know, you saying that just made me have an aha moment, because I didn't even think about that as part of this process. Is so both my husband and I, we largely work from home. I have an office. My office is 15 minutes from my house. So like you said, that decompress never happens. So even if I'm at the office all day, I got like 15 minutes and then I'm at home. I think especially now that we are more of a remote work society, I think that's probably a significant issue. Is like, you're gonna go from like your office or the second, you know, or your second bedroom, like where is the decompress? There literally isn't one. And now that I'm thinking about it, probably my decompress is cooking. That's probably why I enjoy it so much. We never had that conversation when we got married or even when we were dating about, okay, your role is gonna be this, it's gonna be this. It just sort of happens organically. The role I never would have ever anticipated I would have would be the one who cooks most days. Never would have guessed that. And I just sort of started it. And then as I was starting it and doing it, I realized why I like it so much is because that is my decompression. Is that I'm in there trying to think of like, oh, creatively I can do this and that, do that. Because I do have a routine. It's like I you know, cook. I watch Young and the Restless. That's another way I declutter. I can sit there and chop my vegetables. I'm lying. I got a chopper. Like, I don't do that. Right? I was like, let me not oversell it. I'm like, you know, I put my vegetables in a little chopper thing. And I'm like, what? Sharon got another baby on the way. And so it just, it is, it's great for me. So we eat together at our, you know, we sort of have like this kitchen, you know, bar or whatever. And so we eat there, we talk about our days, and the decluttering is happening through routine. And so from there, we have our shows that we watch. So it's like more decluttering. So by the time it is time to go to bed, it's like mindfully emptied. So I just now realized that when you said that, I was like, oh, what is my routine? And then I just thought about it. Oh, it starts with cooking.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that angry sex, spontaneous on-the-go sex, sex at a movie theater, like those things are out? Lovers, taking a brief pause, do a little survey. What is your favorite time of day to have sex? Are you morning, afternoon, night? Now, regardless of your answer, what we all can agree on is that what's most important is that everybody involved shows up with curiosity and confidence. That's why I'm proud to share this episode is sponsored by Row. Now, I'm not a real Row user myself, but I'm excited to see if Sparks is right for you or you. Row Sparks is a 2-in-1 prescription treatment for guys who want harder and more controlled erections. Row Sparks works faster than other treatments because it goes under the tongue, dissolves, and then goes directly into the bloodstream. It works in 15 minutes on average, which means less waiting and more doing. Thanks to their dual action formula with Tadalafil, Sparks can stay active in the body for up to 36 hours. Now, that does not mean you're gonna walk around with an erection for 36 hours. It means when you're aroused, your body is gonna be ready. Long story short, with Row Sparks, men can get harder and have more control in bed. Interested? Go to row.co/lovers to connect with a medical provider 100% online. And if approved, treatment ships directly to your door. If prescribed, new sexual health patients get $15 off your first order of Sparks on a recurring plan. Again, that's ro.co/lovers to see if prescription Sparks are right for you. One more game, that's ro.co/lovers. Back to the episode. Does that mean that angry sex, spontaneous on-the-go sex, sex at a movie theater, like those things are out?
No. I can tell you some stories, but no, I won't do that. No, my husband's probably like, do that. Since it reflects so well on him. No, I think the spontaneity, you definitely have to keep that as a big part of your intimacy. I think for both parties, then having the anywhere, anytime, it could go down mentality, I think just gives you a sense of invigoration, of excitement, of thrill. And because, yeah, even with sex, like, you don't want it to become routine, where it's just like, okay, boom, bap, all right, we good, turn on Law and Order. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think you necessarily want that. And so I feel like we do a really good job of spicing things up. And, you know, that's not to say that this is something you have to do 4 or 5 times a week, but it is to say that you have to do it enough to where the sex does not feel like an obligation.
There's a therapist, a friend of mine named Vanessa Marin, and she has this term that she coined called the bristle reaction, which happens for women mostly in long-term relationships, wherein their partner touches them, and instead of it being like a warming touch or a touch you want to melt into, it like feels spiky to you.
Ooh.
But it's because maybe you haven't decluttered. Maybe because like you're mentally thinking about something else, you're a little bit overwhelmed, you're thinking not now, like, and you always pair their touch with another demand or like a demand for sex. So I'm just kind of curious about that, because if like, if your partner comes on to you at a moment when you haven't decluttered and you're not there, do you have the ability to like press the trash can really quickly and get everything out of there?
Yeah, I think I really try to do that. Because I want to be in the mind frame of looking at how I'm touched as it being a soothing element, right? And so, and also, which I think most women can attest to, is that until you live with a man or in this like serious partnership, then you realize they're essentially 12. And by that I mean, like, I would think something was wrong with my husband if I wasn't in the kitchen and he didn't come up and slap me on the ass, because like he typically does that, or he grabs some part. Like, that's just, I'm like, y'all are just forever 12 years old. And that, to me, the playfulness of that is why I think I don't have that bristle reaction. Or if, even if I'm feeling like in a tight, tense place, I'm able, Like when he does that and does something playful, it gets me out of that like really quick. And I hate admitting that because it's only going to encourage him to be more playful, which I mean, like, you know, like I already deal with enough because sometimes I joke with him. I was like, you do realize like I'm not like your little sister, right? Like, because they just want to play all the time. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? Just a different level of thinking. But yeah, I think there's got to be a sense of play in the relationship. In order to make sure that that affection remains strong.
I think also a key component here for this being effective is not feeling resentment towards your partner. Because I think that there's something called chore play, where in essence, like your partner contributes equally to the relationship in such a way that it feels like foreplay. Because if you feel like everything is left on you to do, when you lay down at night, the last thing you want to do is one more thing. But if I think both of you guys are both equally contributing to the relationship, to the household, to the shared vision, then you're able to like interpret their playfulness not as, well, they're just being negligent and not even thinking about all the things that I have to do. Meanwhile, they're just being 12.
Yeah, I mean, it's so many things that just happen organically that were healthy things in our relationship. And I think, like, I've never had to have that conversation with my husband about, like, can you help out more around the house? Have never had to do it. He takes a lot of pride in making sure that our house looks a certain way. So this is never a responsibility I feel like is solely on me. I do think it's probably pretty helpful we don't have children, because I know children bring a different level of lovely chaos to the mix. But, and generally, I do think there's some roles that he feels like are for sure his responsibility. Like his attention to detail is much better than mine. I'm the big picture, 60,000 foot view person, right? And so this balances really, really well. We could be sitting down and he will notice like a spot on the window, be like, I'll have to clean that later. I'm like, how did you see this? Like, what are you, you know? I'm like, oh, beautiful, my head ass. Like, I don't know how you did this. But I think it works so well in tandem. So I am really grateful because I have certainly heard horror stories and you see them online of women feeling like they are essentially single women inside of a marriage. I don't feel that way, just in terms of responsibilities.
I think that's so beautifully said because I also think it's important for people to hear because I also don't want the woman who is already doing everything to feel like, and now I have to figure out how to do everything and then declutter my mind so I can do one more thing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the issue isn't necessarily that you are too in your head. It's that not enough things are in somebody else's head. Like you're just having to carry everything. So the only reason why it's able to work and that you have the consideration for your partner of still space or spontaneity is because on the other end of it, not only are they doing their half of the share of the work, but they're also doing their thing to declutter too. So you guys can get together in that space where you're genuinely just the two of you in Mykonos.
It reminds me of how people always say like, oh, marriage is hard. But I think sometimes they confuse hard with work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like those are two different things. Like I don't consider marriage to be hard. I consider it a marriage to be work, but I think that's okay. Like work isn't a negative connotation is because you're constantly working on being a better person for the person that you're with. You're working on yourself. You're working on things that bring healthy additives to the relationship. So I hope that more people make that distinction because sometimes I think people can hear about marriage and feel and just like, oh, that sounds like a lot of work. Well, yeah, it is. And it probably should be. And I think that's okay for it to fit into that category. But you know, some of it too, as in terms of decluttering, is that women also have to give ourselves permission to let go of some stuff. And a lot of times we do not do that because I think we've been conditioned under this completely ridiculous notion that we should be able to comfortably juggle 35 things at once. I don't know who lied. I don't know who put out that brochure. But again, they can burn in hell. And so it's just like, no, we actually don't have to do that. And so a lot of times the other person isn't even putting pressure on us to carry those things. We are doing it ourselves. Like we are our own op and we got to stop doing that. And I certainly realized at certain moments, like, I am the problem here. Like, my husband isn't asking me to do this, or this person. Like, I am being a bit of a control freak and being unable to let go of certain things that I just need to let go of, because, like, why?
For the fellow suffer in silence girlies out there who identify with that, it sounds like you had a partner who you didn't have to negotiate for your right to have free time, mm-hmm. peace, an mm-hmm. equitable partner. But were there certain things that you had to realize, like, oh, I can ask for that?
So one of the great in tandem parts of our relationship is I am suffering silence, and he is, if I feel it, I'm saying it, right? And that is, like, I don't ever have to worry about, anybody who deals with this man does not have to worry about where they stand. They will know, okay? And he's just a very direct person, you know, not direct rudeness, nothing like that, but he's just like a direct person. Like, he wants to address stuff. He can't suffer in silence because he's like, I'll be boiling inside and it will just whatever. And so sometimes we attract people who have qualities we wish we had, and that has been a real growth opportunity for me, is that being more vocal about how I'm feeling. And it may sound ridiculous, especially for somebody who's in media and whose job is to talk for a living. Like, so you got a problem talking in your relationship? Not that I have a problem talking, but I think I'm so used to brooding and marinating on stuff that inside of a relationship, my communication skills were not as good as I thought they were.
Yeah.
And so what I've learned to express is not necessarily asking for something. I've learned to express sadness, frustration, disappointment, things that fall under the umbrella of vulnerability, which is the most difficult thing I encountered. Like, it was very hard for me to express vulnerability. And this is, like, sort of probably the battle cry of a lot of women, battle cry definitely for Black women, is that we have just been conditioned to just weather it and figure it out and just keep on moving. And it's like, no, sometimes that's really not good, that it's okay for us to sit in a little bit of disappointment or anger or frustration or emotion and express that. And he has really helped me grow in that area, because he doesn't want to guess how I feel. Because he had said to me once, he was like, you realize how close to the vest you play things? He was like, I would not have any idea what you're thinking. And I was like, really? I feel like I'm being so transparent. And I realized, like, actually, I'm not, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I have become a lot better, could be even better at this, but I've become a lot better when I'm feeling something, like saying, like, oh, you know, like, I recently had a career disappointment. And it was, you know, it stung. And I think 4 or 5 years ago, I would have just kept that to myself and just dealt with it internally. Because, I don't know how this got into my brain, but the phrase of, you know, when somebody's like, oh, yeah, I have complaints, but who would care? Like, I sort of have that mentality. That's actually a bad mentality to have. Complaining, I get it. But, like, in general, you should have room and peace and space to, like, express the things that are affecting you. So when this career setback happened, I was just like, I told him, I was just like, it stings. And right now I just feel like I have a lot of self-doubt about this. Like, this is something that I didn't expect, that's making me doubt myself, and it just feels like a L. And, you know, I'm telling him all these things, and he's being a great listener and, you know, gave me some good perspective. And I generally felt better after I told him how I was feeling. And mostly, I actually felt proud of myself for being able to say that to him, because, you know, sometimes I don't ever, complaining about your career to some degree, in my mind, I was thinking, like, man, this feels kind of, feel like a little bit like a jackass complaining about that. And I don't know where I got that from. I'm just like, all right, you know, it's my career. It's like, it's not like I'm, you know, there are people going through far worse. And so sometimes you can convince yourself to stay in that suffering in silence. And so.
And sometimes it feels like being embarrassed twice.
Yes, it does. And I already was reeling from it, and it was already stinging, and then now I got to talk about it. But it was really helpful and beneficial. And so one of the things I have loved about our partnership is just that it's made me be more vulnerable.
And then you had hot sex and then after that conversation.
Of course we had. No, I'm just kidding. We did not, because of some other factors that unfortunately nature interfered, but we would have had hot sex.
In my mind, you still could have.
Yes,
but to your point, intimacy is not just about physical intimacy.
No.
And so it could still be like one of those deeply bonding romantic moments.
Oh, man, listen, we have had, so one of the, we started doing this series on social media, on Instagram, what we call bedtime conversations.
Yes.
So let's say you out and about somewhere and you see the significant other of a close friend. Let's underline that part. Close friend. You see them out, maybe cozied up with somebody in a situation where they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing with somebody else. You tell it or nah?
I'm running up on them like cheaters. Hey, this is
all right, Joey. The whole impetus behind that is that these are like the intimate conversations that we have, which I completely agree with you, which often is like a verbal foreplay.
Yes.
Right? That leads to like, oh, we just had this like amazing talk about this or whatever. And I'm like, I'm feeling spicy now. Like, you know, so those totally, you know, coincide. I love that sort of, I don't know if you call it spontaneous intimacy, but that's what it makes me think of. It's like, yeah, when we started this conversation about this subject, I didn't expect it to lead to this, but that's like sort of the beauty of the spontaneity.
I love that we covered declutter and then also decompress, which are different, right? Mm-hmm. But both equally important. There is advice that women often get that I never hear given to men. So sometimes I feel like I balk up against it, but you might change my perspective today. That if you're having a hard time orgasming, mm-hmm. it's because you're too in your head.
Mm.
But I'm like, maybe you're just not being stimulated properly.
Ooh.
Like, why do we immediately go to a woman, like, well, if you're not experiencing pleasure, it's because you're not letting go, you're not in the moment, versus, well, maybe your partner is not actually stroking
the spot.
Yeah. But do you think that there's a direct correlation between the pleasure you can receive and the mindset that you're in?
1,000%. And this is something I think men probably don't get, is we go through, I mean, I can't speak for every woman, but I think a lot of women, we go through moments or times or stretches where we kind of feel unattractive. You know, I don't know sometimes where that comes from. To be even more candid, for me as somebody who is approaching a milestone birthday and at a point where I'm sort of flirting with that perimenopause, I'm almost afraid to think about it too hard about like, what is this body doing? I don't know what's happening. But I get why, a lot of women, as you're going through that or you're flirting with it in some ways and starting to recognize some stuff, I get why it makes you feel unpretty, as they say, because you feel like your body is fighting you. And you're like, I don't want to feel this way. Like, I don't want these nice sweats. I do not want this for me, right? Or I don't want to feel like I have a lower libido or a lower sex drive. Like, I don't want to feel any of that. And so it creates this frustration in you. And so that can all combine to make you feel like, I just don't feel sexy right now. I just don't feel it. Because that's a mindset. And so, yeah, I think your mood is directly tied to that. And, you know, we're talking about vulnerability. I mean, my mother, I asked her about her menopause experience, and she got it much earlier than I thought she did. Like, I didn't know. She said her mid-40s. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I had no idea. And she was sort of telling me about it. And by the way, I would say that, too, is like, I do think it's very valuable if we ask our mothers or aunties or whoever, you know, that is older than us about their experience, because that's not something they necessarily willingly share. You might have to ask them, but ask them, because it is very informative. But nevertheless, you know, because my husband's younger than me, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm having some anxiety around this, because every woman's experience is different. This is true. But like, if this, it's potential that this could show up, or I might be feeling like this or whatever. And I want you to know that would not be a reflection of you. It's just a reflection of, you know, what my body is going through. And I don't want you to feel like you're the cause of it, or that, you know, I desire you less or anything like that. I'm thinking, like, frankly, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Like, it's, I don't know. But I want, you know, us to be prepared and be able to talk about it as these real life consequences show up. And he was,
that's super, such a big vulnerability win.
If, yeah, because it's you know, it's hard to admit to your partner, like, it is possible that there might be times where you're like, let's go. And I'm gonna be like, oh, no, that is not where my spirit is right now. Like, mentally, I'm there, but physically, nah, I'm not there. Or it could be the reverse. It's like, you know, who knows? So that's a hard conversation to have. And especially, you know, dealing with somebody in your, and it, you know, it's just a 5-year age gap between me and my husband, but it's like, man, you're like a young, vivacious man. It's like, I don't want you to feel like, is this what I signed up for? I don't want you to feel that way. And so that's a tough conversation for to have with your partner. But the more I talk to women my age, like, having those conversations with them, it's very eye-opening. You're like, oh my God, what is about to happen? And so I don't know what's about to happen, but there's a part of me, as I told him, is like, I'm frightened about this because I don't want it to change what we have. So yeah, like, that's just tough.
Oh, I deeply feel that. We have a 6-year age gap. And so after...
6-year, are you older or younger?
I'm older. Okay. Yeah. So after I had my kids, I was like really dry vaginally, and I was like, it'll come back. And then after breastfeeding, I'm like, it'll come back. And then it wasn't. And then I'm like, this is what I do for a living. And I'm finding it so hard to have the conversation, to have it, because it's interesting how having these unsexy conversations, which you feel like will take away all the mystique of sex.
Yeah.
Because sex has to be something very particular.
Why do we feel that way?
I think, I don't know. I mean, and that's a big thing too of me realizing it's not necessarily even competing with younger people or competing with other women. It's trying to keep up with yourself, with the perception or reputation that you feel that you've built yourself. And you have to embrace you before anybody else can. And that's a challenge, especially when it's changing.
Yeah.
So I'm really inspired by that conversation that you had, because you had it before you even really knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, this is coming up. I'm starting to feel the beginning of it. I'm not there yet, but when I do get there, I want to get there like this with you holding hands.
Correct. And I don't want this to have, you know, what can be a pretty hard impact on our sex life. Like, but you know, there's just some realities, like, I'm not gonna be able to fight. And, you know, there might be times where I'm like, I'm fighting for my life to make that. I want to be able to communicate that to you, and, you know, and not make sure that we don't ever veer off into some space of resentment because of it.
Absolutely. For anybody who's listening right now, who's like, okay, but how, right? Like, how do you get to a place where you can decompress, declutter, and be vulnerable in order to get to the other side and have the best sex of your life?
to have Santorini sex on a Wednesday. So I think you have to figure out, and I don't know if it's the activity, maybe activity is the broad word that I'll use, but figure out something where that forces you to zone out, whatever that is. It could be, for me, it's Young and the Restless, as I said, and doing a little cooking. For somebody else, it could be music. It could be maybe even before, you know, bed, like reading. Because reading, definitely, because you got to focus on the words, like, it definitely empties the mind. But you need to figure out some activity that is able to clear out the clutter that's in your mind and dig into that. It could be a hot bath. It could be just lighting some candles. Whatever it is, figure that out. And make that a part of your routine, not something that you ignore. Make it a part of your self-care. Make it a part of your wellness sort of schedule, if you will. And so, and it's not something that has to take up a lot of time. Because that's the other thing. I think sometimes we think about these things and we say like, oh, well, that's another 40 minutes where I got to do. No.
I'm going to be even more exhausted.
Then I'm even more. No, it could be 10 minutes. The other thing I will say that helps is I think planning for sex is actually very sexy. I used to think the opposite. And I remember one of my girls told me this. This was like years ago because she got married kind of early. And she told me that she's like, yeah, I mean, it happens at other times. But her and her husband, for sure, no matter what, come hella high water, they having sex on Wednesday, straight up. And I was like, ain't that kind of boring? Like, you know what I mean? And she's like, no. She's like, it actually has the opposite effect because all day, that's what we're thinking about. Like, oh, today is Wednesday. Today we getting it in. And it allows you to plan and to think about it. And that in itself becomes foreplay. So by the time it gets to that, you like, we ready. And I was like, okay. And then now being married, not that we have like, okay, on Friday for sure. Like, no. But what I do find is at the top of the day, if I'm like, oh, it's going down tonight, that becomes like such a sexy thought to have throughout the day. That where I'm just like, ooh, when I get home, see, I'm gonna cook this meal and then I'm gonna light this candle and then I'm gonna do it, like, and then I got a whole routine. And by the time I actually do get home, I'm like super decluttered because I've already planned out what's about to happen now from 8 to 10 p.m. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that part actually works. It's like when you plan for it or you organize it a little bit, it does not take away from the spontaneity that you feel. It, to me, adds to the sexiness of what you're doing.
I love that. I also think that this is what we do in the beginning of a relationship. It's actually more a nod to the beginning than it is a sign that things are ending. Because when you're dating somebody, what does you up mean? What does what are you doing Wednesday usually mean?
Like, yes,
what does drinks at 9 p.m. mean?
That's true.
And then you have the time to declutter, mm-hmm. get your body in a place where you feel sexy, think about it, lust over it, then you have that. And then every exchange has a different connotation because you know where it might go, right? And that question mark is so sexy. I actually think that's the first time I've heard someone describe scheduling sex as like stable days. Because that actually was a good shift for me because we don't do that. But I think I thought of scheduling sex like, okay, so it's Monday. All right, how's your Wednesday? How's your this? But
no.
It's just like, I kind of like the adventure of every Saturday.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, we have to make the time. We don't know mm-hmm. when. It's just like that. I'm going to take
that. Who knows?
That.
You might come up with themes for the
day. I'm
going to
take that. Next time I see you, I'm going to tell you what my day is.
See what I'm saying?
And I'll just be like, Tuesday. And then you're just going to know.
Tuesday. And that's how you wind up with Santorini sex. I think it's okay for you to mentally schedule the sex in your mind and not tell him. Because the one thing I think it's important for us to showcase is like that we desire them. Because I think the dynamic of men and women is like men having to always show the desire and put forth the initiative. And I think most people probably know inside of a relationship how much men love it when we take the initiative. I also think it's important to not always have sex at the same time of day. Mm-hmm. That is very important. Good little afternoon romp will go a long way, especially for those of us who, in their older age, finds themselves fighting for their life at like 11 p.m. Like, I was like, "What? Who am I? Like, what happened to me?" Just be able to stay up to 1, 2, no big deal. At 10 o'clock, I'd be like, please, you know? And so I'll be totally down for being like, okay, all right, like, he gonna get it at 1 o'clock and he has no idea. And yeah, and I'd also say sometimes saying yes when they don't expect you to say yes. And my husband used to have this running joke that, you know, because he works remotely at home and the field that he's in, they have these conference calls that are constantly going on. And so they have like these 15-minute breaks, you know, usually he sets the breaks or whatever. And so if I was at home, he would, you know, I'd be in our room or somewhere and he'd be like, you want to get in here real quick? I'll be like, whatever, boy. Like, oh, you know, I just always would like just dismiss him because I'm like, he's kidding. Let's just say a few times I said yes. And that, and he was like, wait, are you serious? I was like, I mean, you threw it out there. Like, let's go. You know what I'm saying? And so it taught me the power of saying yes when they don't expect you to say yes. That works wonders in terms of making sure that you stay in that vacation sex mindset.
Oh my gosh, a sermon. I actually asked another cameraman that we had that we all mutually know, I'm like, if you did an episode, what would you talk about? He was like, the importance of women initiating. It's like, that's it, that's all that I ask for. So I think that that tip in itself and surprising and having the plan for yourself and surprising your partner. And then having your rituals, like every birthday, we block that off. Like, I think I love the rituals of that. And I can't wait to hear what you're going to do for December.
Well, I don't know. So this is what happens is that we surprise each other on our birthdays, right? And so, and people are like, well, when you say surprise, how deep does a surprise? He doesn't know until he gets to the airport where we're going. So I have no idea where we're going. I just know when we're leaving and I just know when we're coming back. That's it.
And there'll be a lot of great fucking in between there.
A lot of it. I was like, the way I'm about to turn into a porn star. Are you kidding me?
A huge thank you to Jemele Hill for this conversation. Listen to her podcast, Politics. Get a copy of her best-selling book, Uphill, a Memoir. Stay tuned for her children's book being released in 2026. And if you don't already, follow her on socials, IG, YouTube, and X at Jemele Hill. Now, I had to bring the vacation sex conversation to my lovers community. And did you know you can be part of these kinds of conversations too? Just go to loversbyshan.com/community. I just want to kind of go to all of you on the reflection point. Have you noticed a relationship between your stress level and your desire for sex?
1,000%. Being in a relationship for over 10 years, like, yeah.
The most times that I want intimacy is actually when I'm stressed. But then when I think about it, I'm like, okay, what type of stress are we talking about? Like, is this like grieving stress, or is this like work stress, or like being Black in America stress? Like, or I just kind of want to rage and have a somatic release.
I feel like this question or this episode would have been really poignant for this present time, in specificity for what Jemele's work is in the political space. I love her relationship. I love watching them. I love what they share. I love their talks in bed. I love how happy she appears when she talks about him. I love having positive examples of love, specifically Black love, on the podcast. And I feel like Jemele is such a, she just really radiates with that. And it seems like she has a great partnership. And it does feel like it's kind of like, well, talking about those, but she actually just put up a post today that was like, how do you know that your partner wants to have sex with you? Like, what do they do? So it actually is like an area that she's entering into. So I thought that, I love that people are bringing their full self in unexpected ways, especially when you have something inspiring to share. I wanted to ask Dominic on the question as our male representative, as our penis card carrying owner, because there is obviously Jemele, who's a woman and is mostly speaking on behalf of women and the stress that women experience. I've done a few campaigns before around erectile dysfunction, and I happen to know how much stress can be a massive obstruction, not only for men getting in the mood, but for getting hard. So we often don't really think about that for men, and sometimes even the stress of getting hard is what prevents you from actually getting hard. But speaking on from a male perspective, how tightly linked do you think stress and libido are?
Incredibly. I know, speaking for me, like, I've had situations where I avoided the whole sexual encounter because I didn't feel like I was going to be able to perform or get erect at a certain point in time. Or maybe I feel, you know, I'm more in tune with my body. Maybe I feel like maybe I'll come too fast. I had a neighbor and we would always flirt. She would always say like, hey, I'm gonna come over one day. Like, oh, well, I'll see you the day you come over, you know. And one day she came over and she had a coat. and all my guy friends were there, and she came in the house, came in my room, she kicked everybody out, and she closed the door, and she took off her trench coat or whatever she had on. And I just was not in that space. It was so unexpected because of the stress and the expectation that society puts on us to perform a certain way. I didn't feel like I was gonna meet that bar. I just avoided the whole situation.
Kudos to you. Kudos to you for knowing your body and advocating for yourself. And I know a lot of men who would just go with it because they do know what's on the other side. So I just want to applaud you. Very hot story, and still a hot story. It's still a great story, even though it doesn't have the stereotypical end. It actually still has a really happy ending though. So I'm happy you shared that. I want to have that reflection point with all of you. I know when I did the episode with Kev on stage and his wife, and they were talking about the importance of vacation sex, which I don't really know why, because I didn't really feel like it hit for me. I was like, oh, I feel as if we could still get there. I feel like whatever I thought. But now that really, really hits for me. I wrote in detail about the last vacation that we went on, the little, you know, trip to Palm Springs, and like all the great sex that we had. So I still do think we're able to get that at home. But I wonder if anybody else is at the phase in their relationship where they start noticing that vacation sex is different.
Vacation sex is like amazing because you get to plan it. As a kink educator, I know for me, like my most exciting vacations is going to kink conventions because I know I'm gonna run into a bunch of new people. I'm gonna get to meet a bunch of new people. I'm gonna learn a lot more things.
Speaking to your point, Shan, has anyone ever had bad vacation sex?
Camping.
There's no way that you guys don't have great vacation sex stories. I think what's happening is that you're feeling shy right now. So let's fix that. We're going to end the taping for all of my lovers. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode. Please come back next week. I gotta say something I haven't said in a long time. Rate and review the podcast. Give it 5 stars. That makes such a big difference. And go to loversbyshan.com if you want to learn about the community, newsletter, and so much more. Okay, I'm going back for the stories. Bye.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcasts12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcasts12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcasts12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.